Peter B. Collins News and Comment, Thursday, August 30th, 2012. It was painful, but I watched every minute of Paul Ryan's speech to the Republican convention in Tampa last night, and I really felt like those pants were on fire. I mean, as I've commented, the whole Republican convention is based on a concoction and a lie. And I want to credit Juan Cole, the professor who covers foreign policy at the University of Michigan, and has been a guest on our program many times in the past. He whipped together the top 10 repeated Paul Ryan lies following his convention speech. And let's run them down for you briefly. Number one, Ryan blamed the U.S. credit rating downgrade on President Obama, but it was caused by the Republican Congress threat not to raise the debt ceiling, and the fault for the credit rating downgrade from AAA to AA belongs to Paul Ryan. Number two, Ryan, like the other Republicans on the stage there, take Obama's comment out of context that says, you didn't build that. What Obama talked about you didn't build was roads and infrastructure and the whole American system that was there before these so-called self-made entrepreneurs were ever even born. Number three, Ryan depicted Obamacare as virtually a turn to Soviet-style totalitarianism, as incompatible with liberal freedoms. But the logical conclusion is that Mitt Romney turned Massachusetts into a gulag with his own health care program. Number four, Ryan slammed Obama for not implementing the deficit-cutting measures recommended by the Simpson-Bowles Commission, but he voted against Simpson-Bowles, and he served on the super committee that was supposed to fix all these problems. Number five, Ryan keeps attacking Obama's stimulus program, but in 2002, when Bush proposed stimulus spending, Ryan supported it. Number six, in 2010, Ryan asked for $20 million in stimulus money from Obama for companies in his district and then repeatedly denied requesting the funds. He continues to do that to this day. Number seven, Ryan slammed Obama for the closure of an auto plant in Janesville, Wisconsin, his hometown, in 2008 that actually occurred under George W. Bush. And Romney, of course, opposed the Detroit auto bailout. Number eight, Ryan charges that Obama has stolen $700 billion from Medicare. In fact, these expense reductions don't cut Medicare benefits, and Romney and Ryan supported these reductions. Now, that's a big lie. That's a big fat lie. Number nine, Ryan continues to push his longstanding plans for steal from the elderly and give to the rich Medicare plan, which Obama has warned would cost ordinary people $6,000 a year more. And Cole points out, PolitiFact checked and rated Obama's charge as correct. And this is just another lie. Finally, number 10, Ryan neglected to note that under the tax plan he favors, Governor Mitt Romney would pay less than 1% in annual federal taxes. That's Juan Cole on the 10 lies from Paul Ryan's speech. And I watched it on the Fox News channel, and I was struck by their choice of messages along the lower part of the screen. It's called the crawl. And there was nothing during Ryan's speech that I saw that related to the news everybody wanted to see, which is what's the status of Hurricane Isaac? And what is the condition of the levees in New Orleans? No, instead, here are the items that I noted were on the crawl. Somebody found a gun on a Romney campaign plane. Yahoo fired a reporter for a bad remark, saying that Republicans aren't worried if blacks are dying in a storm like Isaac. And he's entitled to say that. I don't think Yahoo should be firing him, but it certainly was the wrong place, wrong time to do that. Then there was the stunning news, breaking news, that Ann Romney had spent the day campaigning in Florida, where the convention is, with Jana Ryan, Paul's wife. Isn't that exciting? Now, they also talked about the book that was published by a Navy SEAL, and we'll talk about that in a moment. They didn't bother to, they continue to use the pseudonym Mark Owen, and didn't mention that it's the Fox News Channel who has outed this man and disclosed his real identity. And finally, there was a crawl item about Condoleezza Rice's speech. And by the way, today's subscriber podcast at peterbcollins.com, in it, I talk back to Condoleezza Rice. I play her speech and try to correct the lies and misconceptions that she was spreading. Now, the one unusual item in the Fox News crawl plays against their whole talking point and mentality about the way Republicans are trying to rig the elections this year through various types of voter suppression, including voter ID laws and the scrubbing of voter rolls. And this was quite astounding because during Ryan's speech, this was kind of a counterpoint, unusual for Fox. They were reporting that in Colorado, officials now say that 90% of the people they had suspected of being ineligible because they're not Americans are actually citizens. So I'm pretty staged in Ohio last week for Mitt Romney with a group of coal miners. Those coal miners were not all there voluntarily. It's now leaked through radio station WWVA in Wheeling, West Virginia, that coal miners were coerced and said they feared retaliation if they didn't show up. Quote, "Yes, we were in fact told that the Romney event was mandatory, would be without pay, that the hours there would need to be made up by non-salaried employees outside of regular working hours." So it's a comp time situation. You had to give up time to be there and then go work in the mine to offset the company's requirement that you give your time for free and show up. The quote goes on, "We do not appreciate being intimidated into exchanging our time for nothing." And, of course, many of them don't support Romney to begin with. But it said that they were required by their employers to do so. Now, I mentioned Hurricane Isaac, and it is some relief that it's not another Katrina. Part of this, we can give credit to the reconstruction, billions of dollars, I think about $15 billion, has been spent to rebuild the city's flood protection system. And by and large, it seems to have done the job. And this is another example of the government that Republicans want to shrink and the critical role that government plays. Because when you look at those levees, Republicans can't say, "Oh, we built that." No, they did not. And we'll wait to hear the final toll of Hurricane Isaac. It appears that Plaquemines Parish, the finger of land that follows the Mississippi River out to the Gulf, is where the storm hit the hardest. And, of course, it dumped massive amounts of rainfall in a short period of time. So in the next few days, we'll be watching carefully to see how New Orleans and the surrounding area of the Gulf dry out and recover from this storm. I referenced the book by former Navy SEAL Matt Bissonnette, who had published it under the name Mark Owen, until Fox News revealed his true identity. And there's some interesting things in this book, and we're going to be hearing about it, because while Bissonnette says that he just wrote this book and this is the time for it to come out, there's just no doubt that this is politically timed to benefit President Obama. And I deplore that. I don't believe that Obama is guilty of treason, and we'll get to those charges in a moment. But it is political opportunism, and I can't be persuaded of any other point of view. But you may have heard me ridicule Obama's policy, which is called kill or capture. I call it the kill or kill program. And Bissonnette affirms my suspicion. He writes that the SEALs spotted bin Laden at the top of a darkened hallway and shot him in the head right away, even though they couldn't tell whether he was armed. So this suggests to me that there was never any intention to capture Osama bin Laden. And while we hear he had computers and disks with porn and, miles of incriminating information, nobody has even declassified some of that information to build the case that bin Laden was as big an evildoer as the American media and our government have made him out to be. And of course, it's inconvenient that bin Laden was one of our boys, a member of the Mujahideen, who we financed and armed to overthrow the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan back in the 1980s. So he is or was a wayward American asset. And the best way to deal with that is to kill him on sight. And that, of course, assumes that the fundamental story that Osama bin Laden was alive in May of 2011 when the raid in Abbottabad occurred. I don't think that's ever been absolutely established as a fact. Now, the Swift boaters have a new iteration called SOS, Special Operations Speaks. That's not even good grammar. And somehow they got my email address, and I got this missive from Colonel Dick Brower, Air Force retired. And his whole attack is on some guy that I haven't seen and I don't know, named Bob Beckel, who is some sort of a military commentator for the Fox News Channel. And he works for Fox, but this tirade against him from the new Swift boaters describes him as a liberal smear artist. So he must be saying something right. But this turns into an appeal for money. And of course, the SOS Swift boaters don't need any money from you or me or even people in the public who support their point of view, because they're being funded by billionaires who want to buy the election for Mitt Romney. Here are a few headlines regarding voter issues and other matters from Citizens for Legitimate Government. And this is a news source that I use on a regular basis. Lori Price is the managing editor of this news and commentary service. And you can find it on the web at legitgov, L-E-G-I-T-G-O-V, legitgov.org. And she does a great job of scouring the web and foreign outlets every day to bring us news that you don't often get from the corporate media in this country, and some domestic stories as well. A couple of headlines. Federal court blocks Texas voter ID law. On Thursday, a Texas law that would require voters to show photo identification was declared unconstitutional by a three-judge panel of a U.S. District Court in Washington. A different federal court ruled on Tuesday that the Texas redistricting plan discriminates against black and Hispanic voters. Texas has four new congressional districts, and of course they're drawing those lines to maximize Republican benefit. And the court says, nope, you can't do that. Texas is one of the states that remains under federal supervision for voting rights issues. A judge has ruled lifting restrictions on voter registration in Florida so that Rock the Vote and other groups can actually register new voters. It's kind of a no-brainer, but because of the massive and coordinated Republican efforts to suppress voting this year and defeat President Obama, well, they will do anything they can. Now, some international news headlined at Citizens for Legitimate Government. Egypt refused a U.S. request to fire on an Iranian ship, a weapons ship heading from for Syria through the Suez Canal. And the Egyptians said that the Suez Canal is too narrow a waterway, and it would be too dangerous to attempt to fire on that Iranian ship in the canal. In other news, attacks in Iraq have killed a general and five others. A U.S.-led airstrike has killed 12 Afghan villagers. We'll have to see how many of those are characterized by the White House as militants. Three Australian soldiers were killed by a rogue Afghan soldier, and that brings the body count for NATO troops killed by our alleged allies up close to 50 so far this year. Back here in California, the impact of our budget reductions, and something that I have been warning about for some time, the disinvestment in higher education, is already showing up in a very clear way. the impact of cuts to community colleges and the increase in tuition and fees that they have had to impose has led to a reduction in the number of students. One community college in the East Bay, Diablo Valley College, has lost 700 student enrollments in just the past year. The course reductions at California's 112 community colleges, 71% of those colleges have reduced courses, 80% have waiting lists for courses at their community colleges, and there are about 7,100 students per college who are on wait lists for courses that they would like to take. And again, this is a product not of the fault of working people, but the financiers and the political leaders who are captive to corporate interests in this country and to the Grover Norquist no new taxes crowd. They're the ones who are responsible. It is their radical philosophies that are going to hurt American progress in the next 20 years, despite all that BS they're spewing out in Tampa. And a quick update from yesterday's News and Comment podcast. We had a kill in my kitchen last night. And what I thought was a gray field mouse turned out to be a fairly healthy and hefty roof rat. And interestingly enough, he was wily, and I used a traditional spring-loaded trap with peanut butter as the bait. And I guess the peanut butter really threw him loopy, because he sprung the trap without getting caught in it. There were a couple of rat hairs in the trap's jaws. But I found him dead on the floor next to that trap this morning. I think there are three or four more to go, and I'll keep you posted. Still looking for some more humane ways to get rid of these rats, and your comments and suggestions are welcome. Send them to fullofit@peterbcollins.com. Thanks for joining me for News and Comment. Visit my website at peterbcollins.com. Thanks for joining me.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.